Amen and amen. If you can kneel, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with a Sabbath day. Thank you for keeping us safe throughout the week and for blessing everyone on our prayer list. Please bless us all with salvation, forgiveness of sin, and the cleansing from unrighteousness. Thank you for changing the showbread today as you do each and every Sabbath, and for blessing us with new understanding, new truth, and new opportunities to go forth and share. Please water the seeds in us as well as the seeds we have planted. And please bless everyone that's doing a work all around the world. And especially bless those that are on our prayer list that have yet to find Christ. And even those that come against us. Because if they knew what we know, they would not be against us. And thank you for hearing this prayer and blessing us with the opportunity to pray in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Welcome, everybody. Sabbath blessings. And Terry down there. I think you've been in here a few times, so perhaps maybe we'll give you a texting ability here in a little bit. I probably got the email, but you know. I'm always behind there. So, anyway, if you're new, which most here aren't, that I can see, anyway, scroll down. We're on question number 30. And the question is, when people violate God's law, or God's laws of health, what other God are they serving? Thank you, Brother Gorin. It's isn't it verse 18? Hold on, let me see. Maybe I got it messed up here. Oh, it is 18. Good. For once, somebody else messed up. All right. Okay, so Romans chapter 16, verse 18. It says, For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. This, you know, this reminds me of a man some years ago, not too many years ago, in fact, that stood before the people that was obese. Now, yeah, I understand that the flesh can get away from us, and before we realize it, we're overweight. Dieting, exercising, and refusing to bow to the flesh or to the belly are remedies the people of God have had success with, and so the blessings continue to flow. But and even here, you could take baby steps. I mean, it's just as long as you're trying, the Lord sees and he does bless. But when an obese man stands as pastor before the flock, whether he is ordained or not, he weakens the faith of those in the church, and that they don't see the health message as being that important or that binding on the souls of man. Worse yet, when that man has become accustomed to serving the belly over and above the Lord, he also runs the risk of being tempted in other areas of the flesh, and therefore completely unfit to stand as pastor. Because if you have no control, you have no control. You know, when I came across such a man years ago, I tried to counsel him as best I could, but you know, and with much prayer beforehand, knowing that it may not go well, seeing how the flesh is already ruling the heart of the man. And so it didn't go well. And it became evident that his mind was under subjection to the flesh, and the word of God caused anger to spring up. And we were moved to leave that congregation immediately. But this is always, and this is one of the reasons too, that when I do my studies in the morning, And even on Sabbath, when I do my studies as well as, you know, for the church as well as preach a sermon, I don't eat. And it's not because I'm obese, because I'm not. I know how it clouds the mind. Because the Lord blessed me with an opportunity from an early age to have mental employment. I had a lot of you know, supervision, managerial type positions in my life. I even had a few businesses that I owned over the years, and nothing really worked out, actually. It wasn't until I started walking with Christ that things got better, but I understood my mind, and I understood how it reacted certain times of the day. It was easier to do or think things at this point in the day, and it was easier to do it in this time, and I couldn't really focus well after having a meal, especially if it was a big meal, you know. And so I know just how the mind can get fogged by food. And it's temporary, of course. You know, like if I were to have breakfast, you know, 20 minutes ago, let's say 30 minutes ago, for the next hour, maybe, it might be a little difficult for me to focus. I mean, I could focus, but it wouldn't be as easy. And so I just assume not eat. And, but I also know, especially since we have started to do studies years ago in regards to the health message, and it is the right arm of the gospel, is that there is overwhelming evidence to support that when someone is obese, they have been so accustomed to eating too much that they have a permanent fogging of the mind. Maybe in the mornings they're a little sharper and stuff like that, but still it can't be as sharp as it would be if the body wasn't being taxed as it is. And this is one of the reasons we strive on to that better, you know, walk, if you will, in regards to the health message. Another thing that I've noticed that with this comes, some people get a little upset and stuff like that, but especially when they're new to the truth here. And here's where you've got to listen a little closely, because it's not always your fault. Like with cigarettes, for example. I remember when I was a young man, I tried to quit smoking, and I just couldn't do it. I had to do the cold turkey one, so I just gave it up. I just quit. For a whole year, I didn't smoke. And for some idiotic reason, I started smoking again. And years later, when I became a Christian, I was moved by the Holy Spirit to quit, and I did. And he made me a non-smoker instantly. But I did some research, and we actually found out, 5-10 years ago, I don't know how many years ago, the tobacco industry was, I guess they must have angered some politicians, because they ended up in court. And they admitted in a courtroom that, yeah, the nicotine in the cigarettes is addicting, but it's nowhere near as addicting as the carcinogens they put in. You know, everything from preservatives to just plain toxic items to make the cigarettes more addicting. So when I see a Christian young in the faith wrestling with cigarettes, I know what they're going through. And those of us who have never smoked before, cut them some slack, because it's not easy. Well, the other toss of the coin is people that are obese, especially when they come in. And it doesn't even have to be obese. You could just be 30, 40 pounds overweight. Because, I mean, obese is, I think, 100 pounds over or something like that. I really don't know the definition of obese. I just know it's big. And but the food additives now. Everything's about money nowadays. Everything. That's why the United States government has more or less failed. It is no longer a government. It's a corporation. It's all about making money. That's how the devil was able to control the people in an easier manner, so as to allow the Pope to step in and do what he's about to start doing in a more graphic manner as of the end of this month. Yeah, it's going to be more or less just lovey-dovey stuff to try to get people to accept him. And they will. They will. He's not going to come off as a tyrant at all. You know, he's just going to continue to allow Islam to do what they're doing so that he can continue to kill as he's always craved after. But the thing here is, when it comes to some people that are obese, look at the food additives. Like MSG, for example. That's monosodium glutamate, and you got to look that up. I mean, you buy something, because I would think 80% of the processed foods out there have MSG in them. And sometimes it has new names. Luke found a couple, too, where they stopped using the term monosodium glutamate. But you got to really do some double research on that, because I don't know if it's legal for them to just say natural flavors have been added. Because from what I understand, it's still law that they have to say monosodium glutamate. And monosodium glutamate isn't really fattening. As a matter of fact, it's kind of like an amphetamine. It's not going to cause you to gain weight if all you took was monosodium glutamate in powder form. What it does is it, when added to food that's of lesser quality, it actually makes the food taste much, much better. It's an excitotoxin. Yeah, thanks, Marty. It's an excitotoxin. And it fevers the brain to make you think something that isn't as good to eat is actually great. They do this a lot with, the packaged soups and stuff, the dry soups, and or just any food now. I mean, like Doritos, every single potato chip company out there, I think Lay's is the only one that doesn't use it on their straight potato, or Pringles. It's just potatoes, and that's about it, and salt. it's in everything, And Fritos, I don't think, has it either, unless, of course, you get the Fritos with the barbecue flavor, maybe. Any kind of flavoring, it's going to have it in there. The problem with MSG is, it being an excitotoxin as it is, you have a tendency to put more on your plate and eat more than you would have ordinarily without that in there. And that's why they put it in. They want to make money. They don't care about your health at all. And that's why you see some health food stores actually advertising on some of their products, no MSG added, because they're onto it, And this is also one of the reasons you see the GMO foods, the labeling being, removed or legal to. I mean, if they're going to remove the GMO labeling, why don't they just take the labels off completely? I mean, seriously, that's how it's going to end up if they continue on that path, because if they're going to say that we don't have to tell you it's got GMO, well, you don't have to tell them if it's got red dye number 5 either. Remember that in the 70s or 80s, the red dye number 5? Wasn't that like, I don't know if it was toxic, maybe it was radioactive or something. I don't know what it was. They had something about that. But another thing that we need to be conscious of is that serving the belly also leads to disease and endangers the body in deadly ways like heart attacks and strokes. Sadly, the man that refused to bow to the Lord's word many years ago when I had an opportunity to share with him, and he continued to serve the belly, and he did eventually have a stroke. Praise the Lord, he survived it, and hopefully the truth-filled seeds were watered while he lay there recuperating. And so, but the answer to question 31 actually goes into detail on how bad this can actually get. And so question 31 is, what will be their end? And Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, or whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. I checked online, and I found out that the top 5 causes of premature death in the world, 4 of them are directly related to diet. And the one remaining had to do with smoking tobacco or marijuana. And so, they did mention marijuana. So, in essence, everything we put into the body can either harm or benefit us in the long run. Because, they may not see tobacco and marijuana as a diet item, but it's going in. It's being consumed. Just like a beer or a glass of milk, whatever the case may be. So that being the case, why not get used to the diet of Eden? So that when the Lord comes to take us home, we will not only be healthy and alert, because that's another thing that I've noticed about the healthier diets. Because I remember the guy that I was talking about a minute ago that had the stroke. I remember his wife telling me one time when we were at some gathering after church, and I couldn't believe this information was offered across the board where everybody in the church family heard it. But she says, we don't eat the bad foods. We just eat too much of the good foods. And that's the case. I mean, because you don't have to be a Sunday keeping meat eater to have a problem with diet. You could be a Sabbath keeping vegan and still have a problem with the diet. And so, but again, why not just get used to the diet of Eden and sparingly, and not only be healthy and alert, which will make it that much easier to understand his word and actually be ready to declare him Lord and deliverer. We will already be accustomed to the heavenly diet that we're going to be, to the best of our knowledge, the heavenly diet that we're going to be consuming on a day-by-day basis when we get home. I understand that, you know, grapes in New Jerusalem are probably going to be about the size of grapefruits. So it's not going to be the same in every aspect, but you're still going to see a grape, you're still going to see an apple, and you're still going to see an orange and stuff like that. But they're going to be considerably larger because, I mean, that's already been scientifically proven that before the flood of Noah, one of the main reasons everything was so much larger, including mankind, was because of the atmosphere being twice as dense. And that was also the reason for lifespans being 10 times longer, is because of the dense atmosphere. And some people think, well, that's kind of hard to believe. It says, well, then jump into a hyperbaric chamber. And with the same oxygen content that the planet had before the flood, because they've already proven that just by looking at the soil samples and the core readings and whatnot of rock. But the body does a lot better when it has twice the atmospheric pressure, because it allows for the oxygen molecules to be squished in the shape of footballs instead of basketballs, which means it can get deeper into the human system, which is why Sarah looked great at 90. I mean, it just, you age extremely slowly, because all the wrinkles that you ordinarily get in your 30s or 40s ain't going to be there until you're well into your 100s or 200s or even 500s, because, you know, Methuselah, the oldest living guy, was 969. And no, that's not Bible years or dog years. That's actual 365-day years. Well, as we call them today, but back then they were doing 360, but still, same thing. They didn't do leap year. So, well, anyway, for the most part, in today's world, and this is also why there were dinosaurs, because if it wasn't for the less atmosphere, an iguana would live a lot longer, like some of the turtles, like sea turtles can live hundreds of years in the ocean. And people wonder why. I says, well, they don't walk around a lot on the planet. They have a dense, especially if they go deep. If they go deep, guess what's happening? Atmospheric pressure. Okay, it's liquid, but it's still pushing down on the capillaries, the oxygen molecules, everything that's inside the turtle goes up to the surface, takes a gulp of air, and goes down. Now the air is going to last a lot longer because it's all squished and it's allowed, the molecules are able to, you know, oxygenate just about everything much easier. You can stay underwater for a lot longer if it gets deeper. Well, same thing with the lizards or mankind, but the lizards, like today, if you've ever had a pet iguana or any kind of lizard, you'll notice that from the day you buy it to the day it dies, it never stops growing. It just keeps growing till it dies. Well, if it's going to live 1,000 years, you do the math. I mean, it's just going to get huge, all right? It's going to get massive. So, and I would have to assume that a vegan diet in heaven is going to be that much better than it is on Earth, because of the fact that, yeah, things are going to be bigger and healthier. And for one thing, there's not going to be any GMO issues. And then, of course, the grapes that are described in Numbers. I think, let me look it up real quick here. I think it's Numbers 13, verse 23. Let me go there real quick. Oops, I just passed it. Yeah, Numbers 20, or no, 13. Oh, I went too far. Go back. 13, verse 23. All right. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. Okay, one cluster. Okay, I have a grapevine, by the way. My wife and I planted Concord grapes, the purple ones and the green ones, and for some reason we only got purple this year. And you know, everybody knows what a cluster of grapes looks like. It's, you know, fit in the palm of your hand, right? Okay. So they took a branch and they cut down one cluster of grapes and they bare it between two upon a staff and they brought it of the pomegranates and figs. In other words, it took two guys to carry that one cluster of grapes. Two guys had to carry it. So, pretty big grapes. I mean, the grapes are so large that, well, yeah, I can only picture. I mean, like, that's why I'm assuming the grapes would have to be about, the grapes themselves would have to be about the size of a grapefruit, which is a giant orange. You know, when I was a little kid, the first time I saw grapefruit, I thought, wow, great, because I loved oranges, you know. And I bit into that and realized it wasn't no orange. So, but today, one grape would be a good meal. Whereas today, well, actually today, one cluster is a good meal, but in New Jerusalem, I would think one grape on your plate would be all you needed. So, anyway, let's see if we can get into another one here. Oh, yeah, let's just, wow, are you kidding me? I think I skipped one. How many are in this one? There's 33 in this one. Oh, wow. For some reason, I didn't do number 33. I skipped it. But I did do number 32, so let me... let's do... because this one's kind of long, though, so it's going to take all of the last 10 minutes we got here. So number 32. Every man that strives for the mastery is what? And it says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25... And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we incorruptible crown. And in other words, have you ever noticed how pagans and atheists are into the vegan diet too? They do it so they can live longer and be healthier so as to enjoy the joys of life, wherein we do it to heal and increase the ability of the mind so as to better understand the word of God and then, of course, live eternally. In his presence. Living in his presence is, in as a weak manner as we do down here, is also preparation to living in his presence in perfection in New Jerusalem. You know, it's so sad to think that about how some people want to live long lives and then deny the very God that's offering them eternal life. It's just so amazing. And the thing that gets me, too, is many of us, myself included, in this church know what it is, know what it's like to live on that side of the fence. And it's not the greatest thing in the world, although it can appear to be fun. On this side of the fence, it's amazing. You know, it's just, okay, fine, I can't do the things I did before, but now I don't want to do those things. And the things I couldn't do before, I can do now. I mean, the bottom line is it all comes down to the decision we make as to whether our lives shall be controlled by the mind that is guided by our God or by the body that is tempted by his enemy. And it's not just what you eat either. I mean, like the pagans and the atheists, you can be vegan and all you like, but you still have character issues. If you still have hatred for the truth or you still or refusal deep inside to bow to the law of God, well, then, you know, you got a problem. I mean, all too often, the lost look at the law of God as a set of rules and regulations that make them subject to God, and for all intents and purposes, they're 100% correct. But what they fail to see is what the rebellious toddler refuses to see when his loving parents set down rules and regulations they know will prevent their child from being harmed. Worse yet, some lost come from homes that are so dysfunctional that rules and regulations were never part of the upbringing, and they have grown so accustomed to the freedom to do as they please, you know, so bowing to God, they hardly know. I mean, they never even met him, is nearly impossible for him. There is no authority in a life like that because there was no authority in the house, in the family unit. But then I'm reminded of Matthew 19:26, wherein Jesus beheld and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. But still, some people will refuse no matter what you do or no matter what God does for them. Remember Judas? I mean, they simply won't see it. And like Judas, they're going to end up in the grave reserved for damnation. You know, as we strive on to the mastery, as this passage in 1 Corinthians teaches is a wise choice, we have to know that unless we put an honest effort so as to do as the Holy Spirit is prodding us to do, and in that, I mean cultivating the power of self-control. We all have issues in this area because we're all human. We're going to find it actually becomes easier and easier with each passing day to walk away from the lusts of the flesh, and that entails every sin. Because the flesh gets excited on every level, from cigarettes to alcohol. I mean, it's just, and everything in between. when we cooperate with the Comforter, our King and Savior promised to send us, we are granted abilities and wisdom that brings peace in ways that shows Jesus wasn't just saying he would give us peace just to hear himself talk. I mean, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 17 says this. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Now do you see why Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because I remember when I first met Christ, I didn't have two nickels to rub together, but I felt absolute perfect peace, and I felt like I was the richest man in the world because I understood the difference between a truth and a lie. I mean, even Ecclesiastes 10:17 teaches us that what we put in our bodies dictates the outcome, for it says, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength, and not for drunkenness. And then Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2, and chapter 4, verse 22, and chapter 16, verse 24, all say this. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And that's again, well, I'll just put it in the text chat real quick if you want to take a look at them in the Word. The location. Wait, it didn't go in. Oh, verse 24 is missing. There it goes. Well, anyway, those are locations of what I just read. So we are a created people. And being as such, our Creator knows what is best for us. Our God truly is the fountain of life unto all of us, and eternally unto all that accept His Son as Savior. I mean, seriously, look around. I mean, there's nothing on this planet that could say it wasn't created by God. Not a single thing. Well, yeah, the short-minded or even short-sighted man might say, but I made that car, or I planted that seed that brought forth that crop. But where did you get the metal from to build that car? And where did you get the wood to build your home? And who did the germination when you stuck that seed in the ground? You know, this reminds me of a silly statement I heard years ago from an arrogant scientist. Yeah, he once said, and this was years ago, I saw it in some science magazine, and I think it was like it had a Christian kind of flavor to it. He said that given the time to do the research and given the necessary tools to do the work properly, he knows for a fact that he could create life from the dust of the earth so as to prove that man can do just as easily as God claims to do. But then after I read that and chuckled a little bit, I had to ask myself, and then if I could actually get the ear of that science or scientist, I'd have to ask him, who made the dust? Oh, pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.